You're listening to All Marine Radio on the All Warrior Radio Network. Continue on a Wednesday. Joining me is a woman I met yesterday, and you know, you follow the story, and it gets worse and worse on a daily basis. So, joining me is Shelly Federico. Shelly joins us from the East Coast. Are you still living on the East Coast?
I am in the sunny state of Florida right now.
Oh, really? Well, congratulations to you. What? All right, we gotta. First of all, before we talk about you and the issue, let's just talk about you, Shelly, so everybody can meet you. Born and raised where?
I am an Oklahoma born and raised girl. I grew up on a small farm in southwest Oklahoma. So I'm accustomed to hard work and, you know, plowing, and we used to grow wheat. So kind of grew up in the sticks, and since then I've kind of traveled around the world.
Hold on. How do you travel around the world? You go from small town, Oklahoma, right? Shoveling horse manure and doing things that small town kids do. And then you travel around the world. How did that happen?
Well, I actually took a job for a cruise line, and I was a bartender on a cruise ship.
Nice.
And they actually flew us to Germany, and the ship was supposed to be ported in Hawaii. So that would be the end destination. And once we did achieve, you know, getting through, we went through basically 10 time zones to get from Germany to Hawaii. And so we did the inter-island cruising, and once I got off the ship, I just decided to stay. I loved Hawaii. I just absolutely fell in love with it. So Hawaii became my new home for quite some time.
So you're living in Hawaii, and so how does the, ultimately you marry a Marine? Is that where that event takes place?
It is. He was a local boy. He actually moved to Hawaii from the Philippines when he was a very small boy. So the majority of his life, he, you know, grew up and raised in Hawaii, was actually a Golden Glove boxer there in Hawaii, went to the Junior Olympics. So he's a pretty well-known man. He was a Marine, and he took it very serious what he did. There's a lot of people out there that can say they're proud of what they do, but that this man truly was a Marine's Marine, and just amazing. He is just an amazing person.
So, all right. So, what year did you guys get married?
We got married in 2010. And ironically enough, literally 3 weeks after we were married, we got orders to the East Coast. And my husband and what he did in his MOS was a little bit different than a lot of people. He was actually a personal aide, personal chef to generals and admirals. So, by that time, he had already worked for about 4 or 5 different generals. A lot of them would be in their twilight, so it would be 3-star generals that would be retiring, and Joe would see them through that twilight. But he actually got requested by General Halleck, who was going to be gaining a star, and he was going to be on the East Coast there in Virginia Beach. So he met with him, and he said, "Babe, welcome to the Marine Corps." And we packed up our things literally 3 weeks after we were married, and we started on our new adventure of our new life, and he had a daughter at the time. She was 10 years old. So it was, you know, it was a lot of change at that time, and, you know, molding of new things and learning new things and starting a new life. And we were very excited when we left Hawaii. Happy, healthy, you know, excited.
And so you get orders where on the East Coast?
We got orders to Norfolk. And that's part of the Hampton Roads Tidewater area. That's the largest naval installation in the world. And his responsibility, again, was to once again take care of the general. and anything that he needed. So it was important that, you know, when we were looking at housing, you know, he was very adamant and said, I have to be close to the general. You know, when you, depending on your MOS, and everyone knows where they fall, you know, when you need to be somewhere, you need to be somewhere. And the housing that we, you know, were trying to look at, there literally wasn't anything around for us other than military housing. I mean, the neighborhoods can go from, you know, a ritzy neighborhood to a trash neighborhood, literally like three streets over. So that's kind of what forced us to live in military housing. We had never lived in military housing before. So that was kind of a new thing for us as well.
All right. So you go, and anybody who's ever been to that base, I mean, it's a gigantic base. And so
it is.
And when you get on the base, wherever you go, it's a bit of a drive. Once you even get on the base to go to work, and when you tend to work for generals and admirals, living close is a requirement because they are not in the business of waiting on you. And so that's just how the business goes. So you guys, you move into base housing, right?
Yeah.
And then at what point do you know something's wrong?
Well, truth to be told, I knew something was wrong from the beginning. I just chose to ignore it. We were given a list of houses to look at, and the house eventually that we ended up selecting actually was a handicap house. And I kept questioning them at first and saying, you know, why wouldn't you offer this to a handicapped family? That it doesn't make sense to me. You know, if somebody's in need, we can wait. You know, we can stay in a hotel until, you know, there's another house available. And they said, this is what's on the list. Basically, you take it or leave it. And if you don't, then you fall back to the bottom of the roster. And then you have to work your way up again. I was trying to get, you know, my stepdaughter established in school. The new school year was starting. So basically, we just kind of took it. And it was a duplex type home. You know, easy access to the base, which is, you know, what my husband had asked for. So I was determined to make that our home. And as a military spouse, we all understand what that means. That's not really the exterior. It's what you bring to the interior. Because unfortunately for us, as we PCS around the world, that changes.
So you move in, and from the start. And so what's the first big milestone in all of this for you when you begin to take some action?
Well, you know, I got sick the first, you know, we only lived there in all intents and purposes. We lived there exactly 1 year, 365 days. And during that year, I became so very ill that I really didn't even know what end was up by the end of the year. You know, I called about maintenance as we all do and had some problems with that. And it just kept, you know, spiraling out of control as far as my health. And I didn't realize what was going on until at the very end when we did find the mold in the walls. I think that the sad part about this whole thing is that I had to fight so long for just a simple test to be able to prove what it is that, you know, my medical records were already indicating. You know, my doctors kept telling me over and over, we don't understand what's wrong with you. When you're going on 4, 5, 6 rounds of antibiotics back to back to back, and you're going on steroids, I mean, there becomes a point where, you know, those medicines are no longer effective because you're just going back into an environment that's continually making you sick. So, you know, we didn't realize what was happening at the time, but once I truly got a grasp of it, fought to get a test, paid for my own test, I understood. And then from that point forward, it just became my worst nightmare. Truly, when I figured out what had happened, it was my worst nightmare. We lost everything that we owned, down to every baby picture. Any memorabilia, it was gone.
Explain that so people understand it. It was gone because?
Because of the way that they decided to remove the mold from the home. There are remediation standards, and those fall under what's called an ICRC. There's actually a set of guidelines that tells you how to properly treat and remediate mold. And if they would have followed those standards, I would still have my things. But unfortunately, they weren't. So by not doing that, basically, it took all the things that were growing in the wall, and it went and affected everything that I owned. So in essence, I lost everything. I mean, I had a remediation company come out and look at it. They looked at the test. They looked at it. They said it's gone. So for 3 days, I sat on the curb, and I watched a remediation company come in and out of that home that I just lived in. But the difference was they had full hazmat suits on with full respirators, because they understood by just the numbers alone that were on the mold test what it was that was there. They weren't going to make themselves sick. And I want really people to understand through all of this is that I've learned about these molds and what that they, you know, they do to the body. We need to bring more awareness on that topic, because it's important. We're all living it. We need to understand the facts.
Okay, so let me, I'm curious about, because we're watching this thing. I was going to ask you this later, but I need to ask it now. So how do you feel, and let me just say this, so I watched this piece that CNN did on you. I looked at the bill that was passed about the Military Housing Accountability Act. How do you feel when you watch everybody acting like they've never heard of this on TV the last month?
I honestly, Michael, there are really no words for it, because I stood for a long time to bring attention to what was happening. I was blessed that many women at that time stood up as well. I moved forward to be heard in a court of a jury. I proved the very thing that I said was wrong. You cannot deny it. You can go online and type in PACER and have full access to any part of my court hearing. The sad part is that I fought a long time. They knew better. They saw what happened. They know what can happen to us. I was horrified. I was mortified to think that another family is going to be sick like I am, or they're going to lose their things. You know, we don't have money to pay for these things. A lot of these people are lower enlisted. They're young. They have new families. I don't know many people that can just, you know, change gears and focus on my house is falling apart around me and I'm trying to start a family at the same time. I weep it. Literally, my soul weeps to understand truly what these women are going through, because I am one of those women, unfortunately. And it needs to stop. We've brought awareness and attention, but it needs to stop.
You know, it's mind-blowing that you see Senator Mark Warren in the CNN report, right? Tim Kaine was the governor a couple years prior to this in Virginia. But there's all the people that are involved in the DOD that know about this lawsuit, right? That know about this issue. And
exactly.
And I would say there's a lot of them still there 7 years later, but everybody's stupid and nobody saw this coming. And all the complaints that have come in the interval just got ignored.
Exactly.
And so, so either they're too stupid to be holding the positions that they're holding, or they're lying? Because you can't, if you look at these stories, you can't claim ignorance, right?
Exactly. You can't say I didn't tell you, because I was very adamant in proving the truth. I've divulged, almost a decade now into bringing awareness to providing facts. You don't have to like or love us at the end of the day, but we're going to prove our maintenance records. We're going to show you our medical records. We're going to tell you how our life has been affected. You can't not deny it, but they chose to. And that's the unfortunate part. You know, as we speak right now, there is an attorney firm that is still ongoingly prosecuting the children's cases from the first wave that I came from back in 2011. You can't say that you didn't know. So don't sit there and disgrace these military families and act as if it didn't ever happen. How dare you?
But the game, though, is let's talk about the game. The first game is what? Discredit the person. And I saw some one of the wives in the thing said, "Oh, they said it was my nerves or something like that." They said it wasn't. It didn't have anything to do with mold. So the first thing they'll do is they'll attempt to discredit what you're saying. And tell you that you don't have the evidence to base your claim on and strip some of those people. And then the second one is go to court and then finance anybody who's got to pay for a lawyer. They're not long for that game, right?
Exactly.
Okay.
Exactly.
So that is the big money game that gets played in these issues with families that have had their health irreparably harmed for the rest of their lives.
Right.
And so this game, this big money game, gets played by companies that have lawyers on their books, and their job is to grind these people down and reduce this injury to the company. That's the game that gets played here, yes?
It's unfortunate, you know, and I really have no ill will towards anyone or any animosity. I left that for the jury to decide. So if there's any part of my case and you want to see how it is and the things that conspired, all of those are all for public record. So, again, it doesn't go about what it is that I say at the end of the day. Unfortunately, as I've moved through this journey, every part of it has been about what can you prove, not what can you say. So with that being said, I will not say anything about the PPVs or their attorneys. I won't. What I will say is if you want to see what happened for your own eyes, you can go to pacer.com. You can collect this. You type in the state of Virginia. I'm in the Fourth Circuit District. You can type in Federico versus military housing. And you yourself can view what happened over the course of a 7-year span.
Okay, that link is what? Pacer.com? What is it?
Pacer.org.
Okay, P-A-C-E-R?
Yes.
Pacer.org.
Yeah, okay. I'll send you a link.
All right.
And you can post that.
All right, this is the Pacer Center, Champions for Children with Disability.
That's not what we're looking for. Pacer is actually a government site, and you're actually able to see every federal court case, and you select by the state.
Okay. Or you need to send me the link then.
Sure.
I didn't want you so much to comment on their lawyers or anything, but just the process that this goes through as families seek simply somebody who did this to be responsible and then be responsible financially for the damage that they've done to people for the rest of their lives. And again, you and I both know in a few weeks, there'll be another Senate Armed Service Committee, and all those service secretaries and service chiefs are going to come back in front of the Senate Armed Service Committee, and they're going to report 100%, 98%, 96%, 95%, of homes that have all been inspected. Everybody who wants to move is now moved, and I'm standing before you to say that we are on this problem, right? And then the cameras are going to go away, and what's going to be left is what? Families that have permanent physical injuries to them, to their children, to themselves, who now are going to do what? Fight the DOD to get them to admit culpability and fund some fund? And their track record in this is horrible? That's what's going to be left, yes?
Right. And that's actually why I'm reaching out to you today. I want to reach out to these congressmen and senators for them to understand the long-term health care that we are all going to need. And I can say that because I've lived it. So I truly know the cost of it. There are tests that are available that the DOD can incorporate. But at the end of the game, right now we've got actually a case family at MacDill in Florida. And she took her daughter to the doctor, and her daughter is having respiratory issues. And the doctor told her, I'm going to give you this script, and I want your child to have this $18,000 vest. And what this vest will do is it will basically help to push a lot of that fluid that's in her lungs out. So when she passed that on to TRICARE, TRICARE said, no, ma'am, we're not paying for that. So this is case in point, exactly what I'm talking about. There needs to be a fund earmarked set up for things just like this. And I truly have sat and thought about this. You know, we need to go back and have some type of an infrastructure to where every time somebody that reports what is happening with illnesses, that it's triggered. And by that trigger, that the DOD is able to offer in some way like a triage, like a clinic. There are simple tests that they can give each of those families that we can help them. We cannot treat their symptoms, but we can start to treat their problems, which ultimately, in the end game, we're saving everyone money. So with that being said, you know, if you need a mold test, if you need a lead test, asbestos, they're all out there. They're all feasible. But let's make funds that are earmarked for things just like that. And what would trigger those funds is by you living in housing from X amount of time to X amount of time. Or if you are reporting problems with your maintenance and your issue, you go back through your command triggers and earmarks that you are able to now move forward to get the health care that you need for such illnesses. We need to stop acting like this doesn't exist. There is a solution to all of this. If we will sit down and understand that we have to help our military families, we are not mission ready. None of us. And that is what the military is about. The military is there to ensure our freedom, to ensure our protection. I wouldn't want to send anyone to the front line as sick as a lot of these individuals are. It's a real problem. We need to identify it. We need to face it. We need to agree upon it. And then we need to move forward. We need to be about action. All of those things are there.
So let me ask you this. I want to ask you a pragmatic question, okay?
Sure.
So this, I could take that CNN story and I could take the dates off it and I could run it today and everybody would, it's the same issue.
I know. That's the heartbreaking part.
What has to happen this time because to me, when you see these things, right, and yours was a story. Now, the more this thing bubbles up, we're going to find that there were others like you, right, most of which did not file lawsuits because they didn't think they could do that, and they didn't have the financial legs to do that, or they didn't get the help to do that. And so what you're going to see is you're going to see literally hundreds, if not thousands of stories like this. What is going to make this time different? I mean, you are a person that's been down this road. You've seen this stuff. What will make this time different? I mean, when you see a senator, a United States senator, sitting in there talking in that news report about how horrible this was and how we've allowed families to live like this and we've turned our back in during a war when their spouses are away fighting, this is how we're treating our military families. You know, and somebody sent me an email yesterday. We're more concerned about the homeless in America and illegal immigrants in this country than we are certainly about military families, which is pathetic. So what will make this time any different than the last time, in your opinion?
In my opinion, truly, I think that the game changer is the congressional hearing. It truly is my hope that ears have heard, hearts have been softened, and people understand truly what is happening. For all of the women that are out there listening, I want to say thank you first and foremost for all of you that have spoken up. It is because of you that has led this change. We have to keep speaking our stories, and we have to keep standing our ground. Hopefully, that is what will lead to change. I truly feel like the DOD, all of our congressional people, they hear us. They heard the stories. So now we need to do something about it.
Okay, hold on. Hold on. Let me stop and let me be jaded for a second, okay?
Sure.
The only reason they listened is because they got humiliated on TV.
Right.
okay? Because this is the same story that got told 7 years ago.
Right.
So why do you think they're listening now because it's a national story and that somebody will jam this up their ass in the next election by putting military wives on TV saying he didn't help me? Is that what they're running from?
I mean, I can't answer for them, but right. What I can say is this. I told you this once. If you don't fix this problem, it will return. And here we sit. So this will forever be an issue if you don't fix it. You either get in front of it or you get run over by it. The choice is yours at the end of the day. And, you know, we now have enough resources to move forward with bases and talking. Hopefully things are changing with this Bill of Rights that's moving forward. It's going to empower our military families. And that's the name of the game, is to empower our families, because we've sat so long screaming for someone to hear us, whether it's our command, whether it's the PPVs themselves, no one would help us. So we're finally being heard, but we must now do something with it. So, you know, for things that are happening with your medical, you need to be able to say to your doctors that you go see, listen, I was in a house and here's my test, or, you know, I want to let you know. The CDC actually now recommends that if you've been to your doctor multiple times, there's actually toxic mold awareness week. If you've been to your doctor multiple times, you need to let them know that environmental factors that may be affecting your health. So we have to speak up and continue to speak until we get to where it is that we need to be. And ultimately, that's some form of finding normalcy like we once knew.
Now, let me read you an email. First of all, Mac, I want to say thank you for depressing all of us with your stories last week. They're truly depressing, and on top of that, distressing. Literally not believable. I've heard you say that, and I just want to echo that. Literally not believable. My question for your guest, and my heart breaks for her, is this: why hasn't there been some immediate package response put together by the DOD that says when your home is infected by mold, this is who you call, this is what you say, and then there's an immediate response. The family is moved out of those quarters. If there's no like housing, they're moved into a hotel until some housing becomes available. It is immediately descended upon by the contractor, and if necessary, torn apart, put back together, and fixed. This seems to be a pretty easy course of action, unless, as I listened to your segment previous to this, the woman who was in charge of maintenance was telling the truth when she said they're absolutely not interested in fixing it. All they're interested in is papering over it, doing it on the cheap, and giving it to the next family.
And that's a pattern that we've seen repeated. That's why we're in 2019 and this is still happening. She's only vindicating the very thing that we're saying. Because remember, I moved out in 2011. There should be no reason that we are sitting in 2019 and still having the same discussion. If it was fixed back then, this would not be happening. So we're only vindicating exactly what it is that we're saying. I get what you're saying. This is, if I didn't live it, this is probably the craziest thing that I've ever heard of in my life. But I lived it. And all of these military women have lived it. So, you know, at the end of the day, it is our nightmare. It is our story.
So why do you think something like that hasn't been instituted like Lincoln? You know, I don't want to mention Lincoln. Okay. Why would this not become a DOD-wide something posted in the housing office? If you find mold, call this number. And then there's what we would call an immediate action response. right? Like, if you get shot at and you're in an ambush, these are the exact things that you do. Why would there not be an immediate response when somebody says, I have mold in my house? Okay?
Right. And what? I agree with you that there should be a protocol in play. And even if there is a protocol that they have now, obviously that's a broken one. Or, again,
oh my God.
In 2019.
Broken is an insult to everything that's broken on the planet. It's like the thing's dead. It's a farce. It's a joke.
It is. And the unfortunate part is, at the end of the day, is what people are truly not realizing is this is our next generation. We are setting up our next generation ill. They're already going to be at a deficit, and it's unfortunate. And that is the part that people really need to wrap their minds around. Now is the time for change. So, you know, I think we've all brought the attention and the awareness. I think we're all in the same playing field. We can show tests. We can show pictures. We can prove everything that we're saying. Now is the time for action. So I hope that there is a protocol in play, a true protocol in play that triggers, you know, if you have water intrusion, if you lead paint, asbestos, you know, whatever it is that is happening, I hope that tests are being implemented and truly something is happening. I want to see these PPVs truly do the right thing. I really do. I really want to see them move forward and regain the trust. But the only way that they're going to be able to do that is they're going to have to mean what they say, and they're going to have to prove it at the end of the day. Because this wouldn't be happening to them if they weren't doing it to us. And you cannot continue generation after generation to continue to make the military sick. Eventually, we will not be ready. We will be sending continual generations that live in these homes that are not corrected, sick, to the front lines to defend our country.
Here's another email for you. Mac, we're not just talking about dependents being sick. If the service member is in there, the service member is sick too.
Mm-hmm.
How widespread is this? Question mark. The more this gets discussed, I agree with the previous emailer, the crazier it sounds, but it's not crazy. You listen to these women, and it's simply the reality that they've lived. But when I listened to the CNN report, which I came in halfway on, I thought it was from this week or last week. When you said it was from 2012, my blood started to boil. So I would ask again, what is going to make this time any different? Greater public outrage? We know that will subside soon enough. And then what we're left with is incompetent DOD officials supervising profit-driven corporations? It doesn't seem like a very hopeful situation to me. How do we make this work this time? There is that question, right? One is invested in profit. The other one is largely incompetent in terms of supervising these things, and we see it all the time. And then in the middle of that are military families.
So, well, I will say, if you ignore injustice and bullying, basically you've chosen the side of the oppressor. So it is important for us to stop ignoring it, number one, and to move forward. And people need to understand that until people start taking accountability and following the rules, whether that be the contract as it was truly laid out or this new Bill of Rights, there needs to be some accountability and people watching. I think what a lot of people don't realize is I actually worked with the congressman and the senator. And it was bipartisan, and we actually passed a House bill. It's House Bill 4608 of the 112th Congress, and you can look that up. And basically what it is supposed to be, it's called the Military Housing Accountability Act. So it was legislation that was proposed to be able to kind of monitor maintenance records and reports to try to see what was happening But unfortunately, even with that bill, you know, if there's no one to monitor it, it's not even worth the paper that it's written on. And unfortunately, that's what happened in our case. So, you know, we can propose all of these things, but if we don't truly set someone to be accountable and have a checks and balances, this will happen again.
Let me read you part of it, right? So it's subparagraph 2885 alpha, oversight and accountability for privatization projects sustainment. So this is specifically, right, what was written, what was passed, right, after what Shelley went through to make sure that this didn't happen again, right? Each secretary concerned shall prescribe regulations to effectively oversee and manage a military housing privatization project carried out under this subchapter during the sustainment phase of the project following completion of the construction or renovations of the housing unit. The regulations shall include the following requirements for each privatization project. So this was as private companies took over military housing and privatized them. These were the sustainment piece. The financial health and performance of the military housing privatization project, including the debt coverage ratio of the project and occupancy rates for the construction or renovated housing units. 2, a resident satisfaction assessment of the privatization project. 3, an assessment of the backlog of maintenance and repairs. B, required qualifications. The secretary concerned or designated representative shall ensure that the project owner, developer, or general contractor that is selected for each military housing privatization initiative project has sustainment experience commensurate with that required to maintain the project. And what you hear constantly in every one of these complaints is that you have Larry the cable guy unbonded doing maintenance in maintenance areas, right? They're unbonded. They're not contractors. They're just some guy who's making an hourly wage. He comes. I can't remember who told me. Yeah, I walked around the corner and saw him watching a YouTube video on how to repair drywall.
Are you serious?
Right. And so again, now we're going to, so after this, right, so this language has been written, right, telling service secretaries in 2012 that this was their responsibility. This is April 24th, 2012. And now everybody shows up, right, and everybody's stupid. And so again, the question that the email is, what's going to make it different this time? And
I truly wish I had the answer for that, because to watch it happen again, I mean, it absolutely rips your heart out.
So when did you first hear about this?
I slowly, as you know, when you're stuck in court, you're kind of not at liberty to speak. So you have to kind of mind your P's and Q's, and
right.
That's fine.
Right.
But with that being said, as soon as I did get out of the throes in court, I started to, military women started reaching out to me via Facebook and finding my stories, or, you know, seeing what had happened. And they're saying, wait a minute, you know, this was 4, 5, 6 years ago. Why is this still happening? I don't understand. And, you know, we would have this discussion. It kept manifesting. I was contacted by a few news entities, and they also were starting to hear the same stories. So this has been kind of cooking for, you know, a few years now of being able to help these women and to prove what it is that they're saying, and try to bring awareness to what is happening. But here we sit, and here it is. So I think we need to truly find a way for all of us to agree how to help. The longer we ignore, the bigger the problem. I think that's what they need to understand. It's kind of like a Band-Aid. Let's just rip that bad boy off and keep it moving.
Well, again, I mean, that's what we see, right? What we see, if you look at kind of a horizontal theme of what you hear, and then it's really interesting now that military spouses, you know, are involved saying, you know, the internet and social media, I can find who moved into my house.
Exactly.
And I can talk to her and I can say, hey, did they replace this? Did they do this? Because they said they were going to. But there is no oversight from the base on that. There has been no oversight for the base on bases on this kind of stuff. And so what you have is you have spouses that are largely fighting this fight alone, and that the maintenance perspective, and it looks to be, if you believe the 2012 report, that that woman was fired for overspending her maintenance funds, that she has a budget for maintenance. So it doesn't matter what the house requires. If she breaks that budget, she's going to get fired. He's going to get fired. And that's how we do it?
Well, I think we need to structure it differently, incentivize it differently. We need to say that it doesn't matter the amount that it takes to fix the houses, to bring them up to code. I think we need to have building code, the building code people come in for each base. Every house needs to be brought up to code and checked off. Wouldn't be any different than if you went out in town or if you purchased a home.
Hello.
I think individuals need to understand what it is that they're moving into. I think that all of those records need to be shared.
Well, you know, it's almost like, Shelley, it's almost like, and I think Tim Kaine was saying this, Senator Kaine from Virginia, who we were talking about earlier, but the DOD exempts themselves from all local standards, right?
Right, and that's what needs to change. And, you know, through my case, I realized that, unfortunately, instead of a code across the board for all PPVs, unfortunately, the way that it's written is that they are only subjected to the state code. And each state code is going to be different. So, for example, in my case, we were in the state of Virginia, so we were supposed to adhere to the Virginia Landlord-Tenant Act. Now, there's going to be a tenant act that's not going to be the same in Oklahoma as there is going to be in Virginia. Fortunately for me, there were actually codes that were written in play for situations such as mold. But it needs to not be just, well, your state has it and your state doesn't. No, sir. It needs to apply across the board that we all agree what code is and that we all follow by that said code.
Yeah, it would seem to me that forcing bases to comply with local codes means you're going to have somebody bonded come do the repairs, right? It's going to have to be, it should be inspected, and it's got to be the code. And you don't.
But wouldn't that be the same as if you lived out in town?
Right. And it shouldn't be Larry the Cable Guy doing this stuff. It should be
exactly.
Somebody who's legitimate. And then the next thing I would say is that, you know, it was interesting to hear. I'd never heard it. I know you have, but it was interesting to hear them describe how this money flows through, right? So you have the money that comes from BAH, right? And then some maintenance monies are pulled out of it. And then what's the residual goes into a trust fund. Okay. The companies are paid, you know, from a management fee that they get, and then there's an incentive, a performance incentive that goes with that. Okay, so why isn't some in the future some modification to that to say, look, we will, as necessary, we will augment your maintenance budget. You know, all you have to do is come validate it with us and reconcile it with us, but we expect these repairs to be made. And if they exceed your budget, you know, then or whatever, then, you know, we'll use that trust fund to go ahead and do that. Again, it just doesn't seem like any of this is too difficult if somebody wants to solve it. And
right.
Which is to me so frustrating. The same thing with, let me get your reaction to this. All these people that are acting stupid, I said earlier, don't contact the DOD, right? Contact the women who've sent emails and say, send me the two line, right? That you sent, I want to see who you sent this to. Because everybody on the receiving line, on the receiving end is saying, I didn't know anything about it. I didn't know anything about it. And Shelley, if you got one of these emails and picked up the phone, how many women would you get connected with by talking to one woman?
Oh, a lot.
Exactly. So all you have to do is make one phone call And so it's so to me, it's like not only did you not care, I mean, you obviously didn't want to solve this. Because it's if you stumble into any of it, what you're going to do is get a shotgun blast in the face of it. It's a tsunami.
Right.
It's a tsunami that these women are dealing with all over the world, not the country, the world. The all right, here's another email. Mac, I'm curious, are Shelley's injuries life-lasting? Is there any way that any of this stuff will be mitigated and then maybe her health go back to what it used to be? So,
well, unfortunately, I proved in my federal case toxic encephaly, and that's a traumatic brain injury. So just as anyone else having a traumatic brain injury, you are asked, are you ever going to get over it? The answer to that question is no. Does it get a little bit better? Yeah, it does. Do you learn how to retrain your brain? You do. But will you ever be who you were before? And you ask anyone that has a traumatic brain injury, and the answer is always going to be no. So I just have to find a new normalcy for whatever that word is. But unfortunately, to answer your question, I will never be 100%.
So this isn't something that you were infected with, and then it's going to go away at some point as these things slowly but surely abate out of your system. That's not going to happen.
Correct. Right. You know, when it affects certain parts of your organs, unfortunately, you know, I no longer have the upper respiratory illnesses that I had when I lived in that home. They have subsided. But do I still have the memory issues that I had when I lived in that home? Yes.
All right. Here's another question. Mac, I'm curious. I don't know anything about mold, although I do know people that have consistent mold in their house because they live in areas that are either low, and so there's constantly moisture around their property, or for whatever reason, they have internal plumbing issues on a regular basis, and it seems like mold is constantly in the house. My question is, how do you get mold out of the house once it is in things like drywall, once it is in things like insulation? Is it simply ripping it all out? Shelley?
The answer to that question is there are actually trained professionals that can answer all of those questions.
Okay.
There are actually two specific sets of individuals that will come to your home. First, there is something called a mold hygienist. And what they do is they actually are able to test your home. I mean, there are all kinds of tools that they have. They have, you know, guns that they can hold up to the wall that can actually look through it and see the different heating elements in the wall. They can basically look through the wall. They can test the wall. They can do air samples. They can do tape samples. I mean, if it's there, they will find it. So from that point forward, you are given a test. So at least you have a baseline to understand what you're dealing with. The next step is that you can contact a local remediation company. And there are remediation guidelines. Again, I spoke of those earlier. And they have a guideline that they follow in order to properly treat and clean things. So there is an answer, but do we want to pay for that answer? And obviously the answer to that is no.
All right, here's another email. Mac, first of all, God bless her and her family. This continues to amaze me. I know I must sound really stupid, but I, like a lot of people, am having a really hard time believing that politicians who knew about this in 2012, when federal legislation was passed, simply turned a blind eye to it. And even harder for me to believe are the specific undersecretaries that are responsible for housing and the departments they work in aren't acutely interested in this and don't jump on it every time they get an email. What in God's name are those people getting paid to do if it's not to look out for our families in housing? That is their specific charge. I don't get it. Every one of those idiots sitting at that table in that third panel last week ought to be fired. Get me somebody else. To use your words, they are either too stupid or they're lying about what they knew and when they knew it.
Michael? Well, and to answer that question, Senator Blumenthal has actually asked for the DOJ to step in and to see if some of those questions can be answered. It's unfortunate that it's led to these events, but I think it's time to really get to the bottom of the very questions that that email just entailed. Why is this happening? You can't say you didn't know. Why isn't it that you're not doing anything? Why? And if everybody just points to everybody and says, well, I don't know, well, let's dig a little bit deeper. Because the answer is always going to be there.
Well, and that's what, you know, that's what I'm interested in. And again, I don't want it from the DOD. You know, I want it from somebody that's going to put together a whole series of JPEGs that are, this is my email, this is what I wrote, and this is who's in the two line.
Exactly.
And if you're on that two line, you know, you're done.
Yeah.
All right, you're done. Because I don't want it from the DOD. The email goes on. I'm curious about her lawsuit. Who did she sue? Did she sue the federal government? Did she sue the housing provider? And then what ultimately became of her lawsuit? So can you talk about that?
Sure. I'm going to be real careful, but I can talk about it again. I found that website. It's actually pacer.gov.
Pacer.gov. All right. And, okay. when you go to that website, what do you I'm there now. So what do you what do I put in and where do I put it in?
So you're going to look for cases. And they'll go by state. Let me see if I can pull it up at the same time. But basically, you're able to pull a case by the state.
Okay, fine.
So for every state, you're able to see every federal case.
Okay, so I go to find a case.
Right. And you can just type in my name, Federico versus Lincoln Military Housing. That was the privatized housing firm that I was in court with.
Okay, and it is, it's in the state of
Virginia.
Virginia. Okay, so it's asking me for a username, password, and client code. What the hell is that?
You can actually go in and just set up an account. It just has to trace back to, they want to understand who it is that's looking at this information. But it's public information for anyone to see.
Okay, all right. And so I type in Virginia and Federico. Not Frederico, as I said initially. So Federico. Okay,
yeah.
And then they can. Okay, so give us the a thumbnail of who did you. First of all, who got named in the lawsuit?
So first and foremost.
Okay, let me ask you. Let me ask you a more fundamental case.
Sure.
How did you pay for an attorney? Because these are the hurdles that military family goes through. How did you pay for an attorney to start this process that you had to know was going to take years?
Right. I didn't. I didn't know it was going to take years. All I knew was I needed help. You know, I literally probably called about 50 attorney firms, and no one wanted to help me. You say the name government or government housing, and they won't even so much as say bye. They just hang up the phone. I got really blessed that I was able to find an attorney firm in Virginia. The gentleman's name is David Bailey. He's with the environmental law firm. And he's a mold attorney, so he understood what I was going through.
There's such thing as mold attorneys?
I know. I didn't know that either. I kind of stumbled upon him. Who would have thunk it? But he does exist, and he's been around, you know, a long time. My case turned from one case really quick to a whole lot really fast. So with that being said, he's just one person. He then reached out to other firms who joined us. So then we had a brain injury. We had an architect attorney. We had one that specialized in federal court. We had one that used to be a police officer who turned attorney. So, you know, had a complex little meshing of things. But these gentlemen understood one thing. They understood what was happening. They understood the evidence. And they were determined to prove it. I was very blessed that it was on a contingency. So basically whatever the agreement was, whatever I won, I gave a portion of that. And a lot of attorneys these days don't do that because it costs a lot to move these cases forward. You know, I had attorneys that sent me to doctors, world-renowned doctors from around the world. That's what it takes to be able to prove these cases in court. These families don't have this money. So for whatever reason that, you know, that's what God blessed me with, I truly feel like it is my time to say, look, I got afforded this luxury. I got these wonderful attorneys who are so very intelligent, who sent me to doctors from around the world. I'm able to tell you definitively we proved it in court. It has never been proven before. Never before me in federal court has it been proven that toxic mold does in fact cause brain illness. So let's build from that platform. No more families should have to go through 6 and 7 years of hell in court. They should be able to say, look, these are my illnesses. This is what is happening. I need treatment.
Okay. How long? So when did your court? When did you file the lawsuit?
We filed the lawsuit in 2012.
Okay. When was it settled?
It was settled. I think the gavel came down in April of 2016.
And that would be relatively fast, yes?
It was pretty fast, but when you're suffering, it's not fast enough.
Yeah, no kidding, no kidding. And again, and that's most families can't even go down that road because they after 30 phones get hung up on them, right, they say, there's nothing I can do.
Exactly.
We don't have the money, and no attorney will help us, and whatnot. The here's another email. I've read stories like this. I myself have never lived in a house that I was threatened in. I saw the story in Reuters, and I read about the lead paint issue. These stupid old homes with this stupid lead paint in it, how can this still be making young people so sick and causing the brain damages? I just don't understand that. How could this still be happening, especially to these families whose husbands are continuing and going and fighting for our country? It is so disgusting, I can't believe it. And when I heard the video earlier where the woman was fired because she was spending too much on maintenance, that made my blood boil. I'm curious, what does your guest think is the best thing that we can do as people who care to help this? So what can everybody do, Shelley?
I want everyone to start speaking up. You know, it's one thing for us to speak about the injustices that are happening to us, but, you know, I'm somebody's daughter. I'm somebody's friend. I'm somebody's cousin. All of those people need to be calling the local offices of these congressmen and saying, look, that's my child that you made sick. I need to let you know that's wrong, and I need to know what you're going to do to fix it. That's my grandchild that you're setting at a deficiency. What are you going to do to fix it? I need for the American people, for you're telling me that your blood is boiling, put your money where your mouth is and pick up the phone.
Okay,
so
pick up the phone and call who and talk to who?
I want you to call your local congressmen and senators, and at every office, there is a military liaison that is delegated for things just like this. That is their casework and their task. You pick up the phone and you say, I need to speak to the military liaison. You find out who it is in your state, your congressmen and your senators. That is your right. You are given that right because our spouses are fighting to ensure that freedom. It's not in vain.
Okay, so I call somebody's office and I get just whoever answers the phone and I say, I want to talk to the military liaison, and they say, I'm sorry they're not here. What do I do?
You keep calling. You ask for an email. You ask for a name. You ask for a voicemail. Because all of those things are given if you just ask.
Okay,
closed mouths don't get fed.
So that's what you can do. Let me read you. Let me see if I can find it. Here's a response somebody got in the state of Alabama. Doug Jones, United States Senator from the state of Alabama. Thank you for taking the time to write me. And this is a listener who wrote, I think, after listening to Lee Tuttle. Thank you for taking the time to write me about substandard living conditions in privatized military housing. This situation is unacceptable, and there must be accountability for the companies who have provided deficient military housing. I committed to ensuring that active duty military and families have safe and healthy housing. During a Senate Armed Services Committee Joint Committee hearing on February 13th, I called on the CEO of the company that operates military housing at Maxwell Air Force Base in Alabama to report his plan for addressing repeated deficiencies there, and I secured the agreement of all the CEOs who operate military base housing to create a system that would allow service members to withhold their rent if safety or health concerns remain unresolved. We all know that that's now being discussed as being put into the Bill of Rights, right? We'll see if that actually happens. Inspections of all base housing units are underway, and the Senate Armed Service Committee is conducting another hearing on this topic on March 7th, 2019. Wait a minute. This is hilarious, okay? This is the form response that somebody got on March 12th, okay?
Wow.
Right? So it was written between the two hearings, right? They need to update their form letter. With all the service secretaries and chiefs of staff, please know that I am a member of the committee. I will continue to insist that military-based housing provide the best possible living conditions for our service members. Thank you for writing. Please do not hesitate to do so again if I can ever be of assistance to your family. Sincerely, Doug Jones. There, Doug, you might want to revamp your letter. You have a date in there that makes your letter look stupid.
There needs to be follow-up with that. You know, if you're going to write somebody a letter, then you need to make sure that the words that you're putting in that letter that you're going to stand and you're going to do something about it.
So call or get the name of the military liaison in whoever's office and write them and tell them that you want to see action about this. And this isn't Shelley, this is me. And you tell them that if they don't do it, you're not voting for them. And because that is the currency of the realm here. The only reason these people are interested is that it has become a very visible, a very hot issue that will sway people's votes. Okay? Congress doesn't move on any other currency. So the reason that they're there, again, the reason they're there again, right, is because this is now something that's white hot, especially around in states that have military housing and a lot of it. Virginia, North Carolina, Alabama's got a bunch of it, Georgia, Texas. This is a white hot issue. And you tell them, I won't vote for you if you do not unscrew this, and not only unscrew this, get everybody into healthy housing, but if you do not take care of the people that you've made sick, if you do not make them whole, if you do not provide for them, I will do everything I can to see that you're defeated in the next election. Because that is the currency that they deal in. And this is just, it's just, you know, Shelley, I cannot even imagine as this thing kind of, kind of reminds me what's happened to you here recently, and I say recently and not just here in the last couple of months, but it's gone on for longer than that. Almost like when you make popcorn and you hear the first, like, pop. The first pop was months ago when somebody contacts you, correct? And then all of a sudden, pop, pop. Pop, 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 pop. And now that thing is just going nonstop. And this nightmare continues for more people. What haven't I been smart enough to ask you that you want people to know?
I just need for people to be vocal. You need to understand that, you know, they're telling us that they don't hear it, that they're not seeing it. Then, you know, let's go back and make sure that they do.
Well, again, if they're saying that, then someone needs to, you know, break it off across their head. And again, I don't mean by asking the DOD for emails. I mean asking for spouses. Because let me tell you, spouses have all this stuff. They know the letters they've written. They know who they've sent them to. And we need to ask them. We want to know what letter you sent, and we want to know who you sent it to. And then stick that, give that to media people, and let them publicize this. And you have to, and again, you have to play that game, because otherwise they will do the same thing to this group of people, right, that they did to the people at Camp Lejeune, relative to the water shit down there.
Yep.
They will say it wasn't us. They will say that you can't link that to your disease, and they will go sideways. They will extend it for years in an effort not to take care of these people. And this can't happen. This can't happen. I interrupted you. You were going to say something.
I just need for people to understand that, you know, this is our next generation. Are we going to set up our next generation of individuals who adversely are going to end up taking care of us that are going to be sick? It's like the blind leading the blind, and we need to stop that mentality. Now is the time for change, and we need to stick by what we say.
Have you ever met, you lived in Virginia, did you ever meet Mark Warner?
Multiple times. I've sat down with people in his office. I've met him personally. Yes. So he knew. I think he was under the understanding maybe that, you know, this is taken care of. I don't live in Virginia anymore, so I don't know if, you know, women were reaching out to his office, what he was hearing or not hearing. But I know he hears it now. So let's do something now.
So I guess what do we have to do to – how do you make somebody pay attention for longer than the media cycle?
I can't answer that question.
Neither can I. Shelley, first of all
– it is a real problem.
Well, I mean, it's a real problem, and there's real people getting really sick, and it's at the root of it is somebody's profit and somebody's lack of supervision, which in my opinion,
exactly.
One is willful and one is negligent. And in the middle are little kids and people that defend this country and their spouses that support them. And it's disgusting. So anyway, so first of all, it was a pleasure to meet you yesterday and talk to you. And any time that you want to come on and talk about anything, you have my email and you have my cell number and you call me. You come on here anytime you want to.
Thank you so much. Thank you so much for your interest in what is happening to these military families. I just want to say that anyone can reach out to me on Facebook. You can also email me at shelleyfederico@yahoo.com. I am here to help in any way that I can. God bless America, and God bless this military situation that we're in.
No, I mean, I have my son lives in base housing in Quantico. Right now, my grandson, my daughter-in-law, and they'll go from there down to Fort Benning. And so, yeah, it sucks. So anyway, you and I are going to be friends for a long time. So have a good day, Shelley. Thank you for the visit.
Thank you, sir. I appreciate it. Thank you so much.
You bet. That is Shelley Federico. You can find her on Facebook. Shelley, S-H-E-L-L-E-Y is the spelling. Federico, F-E-D-E-R-I-C-O. And so you can find her there. And so if you're looking for help, and again, you know what their worst nightmare is? Wives who get organized. Right? That's their worst nightmare. Because like I said, you know, you want to play stupid, right? And in the midst of you playing stupid, all of a sudden you have a military wife says, oh, time out. Hello, time out. Like, I love imitating women, by the way. Hello, time out, boyfriend. Would you just hold your mouth right there? Here's an email I sent. This is the first of six emails I sent to your office. Is this your email address right here? Yeah, that looks to be correct. Is this your military liaison's email right there? Yeah. I sent this email to your office six times. Okay, so I don't know what you did with it. I don't care that I what you did with it. All I know is that right now, you're lying. Okay? Your office knew. What you did with this, I don't know. And you know what? I don't really care. Yeah. That's where that needs to go. Because like I said, it's not like these women haven't asked for help. And when you see Shelley's story, when you listen to the news report from CNN, I watched that thing yesterday, and I sat there and watched it, and I was like, you got to be kidding me. And here's Mark Warner's ass in the whole thing. Not the whole thing. He's at the end. Let me just play the end of it. Okay. Let me play Senator Warner here. Let me find that little. Let me find the little gem that he appears in, right? And you'll hear what they say. Okay. Now. Stand by. So, you know, what I'll do is I'll play the whole 7 minutes of it, okay? So this is the second half of that CNN report. So if you missed it the first time, listen to it again. And you're going to hear a maintenance supervisor that works for Lincoln Military Housing at the time. And this report is done on April 16th. Okay, it's done by CNN.
Lincoln Military Housing did not create the Navy's deteriorating housing crisis, decades in the making, but it didn't fix it either. As a result, many military families are living in toxic homes. Deborah Fayrick's special investigation continues.
We should get Deborah Fayrick on here, see what she has to say.
As the new landlord, Lincoln Military Housing did put in new appliances, fixtures, cabinetry, and carpeting, taking homes from this to this.
So pretty.
It appears aging homes continued to be plagued by water damage, persistent leaks, and more harmfully, mold. And more families were falling mysteriously ill.
Okay, where do leaks come from? Leaks come from faulty construction, right? Leaks come from faulty construction. That's the only way they happen. Do rich people have leaks? No, they don't. You may not know that if you're not rich, but they don't.
What kind of illnesses have you had?
Sinus infections, respiratory infections, the nausea, the vomiting, the diarrhea.
The families we spoke to believe Lincoln was avoiding what it knew to be a huge problem.
There was a lot of mold when I first started.
Meet Danette Smith. She worked 10 years for the Navy and was among the first team hired by Lincoln when it took over military housing in 2005.
In your opinion, was Lincoln trying to save costs, to cut corners?
100% yes. They did not want to spend the money due to the units. Eventually, we're going to be torn down, or they mainly concerned on 100% occupancy.
How were they remediating the mold?
Covering it.
How?
They would cover it with cleaning it with bleach and then painting over it. They put a Band-Aid over anything the cheapest way possible to make it not visible and for a resident to come in to not say anything.
Lincoln denied Smith's allegations. She was fired for overspending on housing maintenance. Fast forward to today. With families getting mysteriously sick and Lincoln denying a problem, families desperately turn to the Navy for help.
Now, again, this story could be done today, right? This story could be done today, but it wasn't. It was done 7 years ago.
She was actually there with me that day.
It's out of our hands.
It's out of our hands, and there's nothing we can do. And I would ask Ashley, sir, you know, I found a doctor that can help us. He said, you know what, you see those helicopters over there? That's what I do, and I don't do anything more than that. And I said, but sir, you're the rear admiral of the state. Can you help us? I'll pass the information along.
That man is Rear Admiral Tim Alexander, whose housing staff directs service members to Lincoln Housing.
We're there to support our families and to ensure that they are being treated properly.
And from the bottom of your heart, do you believe that the Navy acted that way? Because a lot of families would say otherwise.
I do believe that in every instance where we were informed that they had a problem with their landlord, we have fully engaged on their behalf, yes.
The Navy's housing crisis came to a boil in December when a local TV reporter contacted by Marine wife Shelley Federico started looking into the allegations.
Right, and this wouldn't need to happen now, right, is that, so Shelley Federico contacts the news runs a story, and then all these women, right, show up to talk about their issues.
After Shelley's story spread through the neighborhood, other Navy families started coming forward, telling News Channel 3 their story.
The floodgates opened. Navy and Marine wives who had never met before came out by the dozens. At an emergency town hall meeting, U.S. Senator Mark Warner, who himself has a daughter with asthma, listened in disbelief.
It's been 20 years in business, and I bolted. This is not a way to run a business.
What struck me was, here were these Navy spouses with their husbands deployed defending our country, and they were living in substandard housing. I mean, this is not how we should be treating the families of the guys who are defending our country.
But nothing changed. Nothing changed.
When Lincoln tried to defend itself with its own test results suggesting no mold was present, Senator Mark Warner demanded Lincoln fire its mold inspectors, telling the Navy to step in and do its job overseeing its public-private partnership with Lincoln.
Many of the families feel that the Navy dropped the ball when it came to oversight. Do you think that's a fair description?
I think the Navy, if they didn't drop the ball, they took their eye off the ball.
That's the exact same phrase that was used in the hearing last week. We've been busy fighting wars. We obviously took our eye off the ball. Well, wait a minute. You said that in 2012. How do we get your eye on the ball? How do we get... First of all, okay, we don't expect you because you're the Secretary of the Army. Okay, you got a whole lot of stuff to deal with. Who specifically in your department is responsible for this? Who specifically? Installations and logistics? I want to know who that is, and I want to see them at that table with you the next time I see your ugly face. Did I say ugly? Oh, I just thought I thought that. Okay.
Lincoln is now doing what desperate families for months have been asking. They're finally offering free mold tests for anyone who wants one, and if necessary, remediating the mold.
Lincoln and the Navy are not doing this out of the goodness of their heart. They're doing it because they got caught.
They got caught.
Lincoln says it has fired 10 employees, hired a community liaison, and is reviewing its 4,400 homes.
Lincoln representatives were denying there was a problem. The Navy was denying there was a problem. Now all of a sudden there's been a 180 degree reversal and you guys are now acting on it.
Well, we've made mistakes and we're not happy about what happened here. And I think we've recognized that.
It's no secret that government contracts are lucrative contracts, but devil's advocate, why should anyone give you any more money given what has happened with these families?
Well, we have to prove ourselves again. And we have to compete for the families, their rental dollars.
I think he just said the same thing at the last hearing, too. We have a trust problem. I should go back and pull that audio.
The Navy is now promising to live up to its end of the deal.
One of our lessons learned has been in this particular partnership and for the time being that we need to increase the amount of oversight that we provide sort of at the deck plate level.
And that's what they found in my bathroom.
You're asking these families who already have enough going on to trust Lincoln and to trust you. And a lot of families are saying,
Well, certainly we want to restore that trust across the board, and we will do that one family at a time.
But for those who are sick and feel they were lied to, that could take a very long time.
These things should have been condemned a long time ago, and they weren't. I don't want to move back into that house. I don't care what they've done to that house. They can rip out every single wall. They can rip up every piece of carpeting. It's not going to be safe.
To date, Lincoln Military Housing has inspected nearly all of its 4,400 homes. So far, they say 68 homes have required full remediation. But despite their track record, the company gets to keep that lucrative Navy contract for the next 40 years.
How about that? How about that? Yeah. I will put the links for those two videos in the in this segment. So if you're looking for them, you can go ahead and find them there. And it's just honestly, it's astounding to listen to this story, and it continues to unfold. You listen to that, and the exact same situation exists today, 7 years later. And it's just, so the question is, why would anybody trust the DOD that they're going to follow through? This time is going to be different? Sorry, right? Don't piss down my back and tell me it's raining, right? I don't believe you anymore. And I sure as hell don't believe those companies. Because it's not like this is an unknown quantity, right? They have behaved consistently, right? The things that woman who was the contractor, was in charge of maintenance, said about paint over it, right, and don't fix it, are the exact same things that Lee Tuttle told me on Monday. That's what they do. They came out and they were going to replace the carpet, but they weren't going to replace the pad. Well, the mold is in both. And she had to throw a fit to get them both replaced. So they know what they're doing, right? And that is fight it at every step of the way in order not to lay out money for maintenance. That's the deal. It isn't like, okay, this is an issue. Yank out the carpet, yank out the pad, right? That's done. All right, bring the mold guys in. We're going to mitigate the mold. And now we have to make a determination. Why is there a water issue in this house? Is it because it's lying in a low spot? If so, then what we have to do is we're going to have to demolish this house, right? And we're going to have to find more construction. Okay. Now, let me ask you this. So what about temporary housing? What about temporary housing? Well, yeah, Montana Man said 40 years. Yeah, the contracts were let in the late 90s for 50 years. 50 years of guaranteed profit. Yeah, Montana Man, he can do some construction. You ought to get in the base housing business there, Rob. You take care of that shit. Because he's a stand-up dude. It's... Why would you believe the federal government? Why would you believe those companies? But again, the biggest issue, in my opinion, right, because right, the closest alligator to the boat right now is get people out of substandard housing. And then after that, right, now the heat goes away because we all stood up in front of Congress and said, but there the thing that should go through, go every step with that question is, what are you going to do about the sick kids, the sick service members, and the sick spouses? Who's going to provide for them for the rest of their lives? Who's going to provide, if you read the Reuters story, right, Army colonel and his wife, now have a son who has permanent brain damage because of lead paint poisoning that their son got at Fort Benning. Who's going to pay for that kid's care after his parents are dead? That should be on the family. They did that to that kid. But again, they will fight it every step of the way. And then these families will fight them on their own. And that is wrong as wrong could be. But that's what the DOD does. It's terrible. Terrible. And so, anyway, that's why they need your help. This is a brutal issue. And it has to do with guys off fighting in Iraq and Syria, multiple deployments, and your family is living in garbage. Your family is living in garbage. How's that? No bueno, man. No bueno. So, again, we'll continue, obviously, to follow this. And, again, it's disgusting. Absolutely disgusting. Little kids. Yeah, sick. Little kids, sick. Forever. Families financially injured forever. And these shitheads go on TV and act the way they act. And then you see this. Then you see this report from 7 years ago, and it's every bit the same. And now this time we should trust you, right? Wrong. You lost the right to say that, bro. That'll do it on a Wednesday. And again, find out who the military liaison is for your senator, your senators, and your congressman. All right? Write a single email with all three of those email addresses on the two line. Okay? And write the following. You know what? I should put the form letter on the website. Dear Senator Blank, my name is so-and-so. I've served in the United States Marine Corps from blah, blah. I expect you to make sure that military members have quality housing, and within the next 30 days, everybody gets moved to military housing, to some appropriate form of housing that doesn't make them sick. 2, I expect that the medical needs of everybody physically injured be taken care of, both current and former. 3, I expect that those people's ongoing medical needs and care needs for those that are brain damaged be taken care of in perpetuity. Next paragraph. If you do not do this, not only will I not vote for you, I will organize in my community veterans to vote against you. Here's a text message. I'm getting my house tested for mold on Monday. My daughter has a respiratory infection for almost 2 months and cannot shake it. We lived in Lincoln housing when she was a little girl. It was when I was at Kingsville, which is in Texas. I don't know if she has long-term issues, but in the short term, I'm getting our house tested after listening to all of this. She is on her second round of antibiotics with steroids and inhalers. It's just disgusting, honestly. I don't know how many times I could say it, but again, and every day as I meet more and more of these women, and they say, "Oh, I want to introduce you to so and so." Well, let me introduce you to so and so, because it happened to her before it happened to me. And they've been ignored and ignored and patted on the head and told them it wasn't, you know, you can't link that condition to the house. you know, and now we reach the point of this. And so the key part is not the short-term housing fix, because they'll do that. That's the easy one. The long pole in the tent is who's going to take care of these people for the rest of their lives, medically, and for those that are permanently brain damaged, who's going to take care of them for the rest of their life? Watch the DOD run from that shit. I'm moderately agitated. I need to go to post-traumatic winning. Do my wellness exercises. Do a little bit of short-term meditation. Right? Point my nose into the wind and but again, right? It's one thing to screw with me. You screw with my kids. You screw with my family. I'd make you a dead man. And that's what I feel in my heart. You harm my kid. You, maintenance guy. Right? You harm my kid. My kid's going to be affected for the rest of his life because you didn't do your job. I'd have grabbed you right by your Adam's apple and lift you off the ground and say, you know what? With one quick tug, this thing's out. And the only thing that's preventing me from doing it is that I'd deprive my kids of their father. That's the only thing. Or I'd fire your Adam's apple right down the street and laugh watching you run around grabbing your throat. Yeah, welcome. That's an introduction to my black blood. Anyway, have a great day. Almering Radio continues here on Wednesday. But the live part is over and... out.